Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 156, the We're Famous Now episode. I don't know if you've heard the news, but the latest issue of Generation Q has an episode on podcast, and it has a handy-dandy reference to podcasts you might enjoy, and all the girls who are actively podcasting are on the list. Very exciting. I went to the website, the Generation Q website, and ordered myself a copy, and you should do the same. Let's support them. I talk a little bit more about this in one of the quilt diaries. So yes, we're all famous now. Very exciting. It is Wednesday, January 21st-ish, I think, 2015. It's about 5:20, and I need to get started on dinner, but I did get a comment today from Terry, and I got one yesterday from Debbie, and that's always the signal. It's time to get going. It's time to post an episode. Not that they're always the latest, but I always am waiting. Just like, oh, am I going to hear from Debbie, and I'm going to hear from Terry, and I do. They never let me down. None of you let me down. I know a lot of you are commenting in your heads. A lot of you, some of you, a few of you might be new because you might have read the article in Generation Q. Good for you. Welcome. Glad to have you. In general, I have seen a whole new wave of folks who are commenting who say they are new to the world of quilting podcasts. Yay! Glad to have you. It's very fun. It's a good world. It's a good community to be a part of. I think that's true of the quilting community in general, of course. I want to say thanks to everyone who commented on the last episode. I want to say thanks to Margaret Kay, although she is responsible for me signing up for yet another Craftsy course. But this one was on sale. It was Designing Modern Quilts by Weeks Ringel. I am up to the third class. It's awfully good. And Margaret recommended it because she says that Weeks discusses all of the elements of design with a lot about color theory and shows examples in her quilts and discusses why she made the choices she made about quilting designs. And as you know, I've been saying I need something like that in my life. So thank you, Margaret. It was great because the class was on sale for $20 and it's quite good. And, you know, although I at this point am doing more, say, modern traditional quilts or traditional modern quilts. No, modern traditional. Color theory is color theory. And making design choices is making design choices. So it's really good. So if you're looking for a class like that, I have to say, based on the first three classes, this one's a good one. Again, Designing Modern Quilts by Weeks Ringel, who also just seems very cool. Let's see, I heard from Noni, who agrees with me, totally disliked quilts that matter. And she especially disliked it because of the content, that she thought it was totally self-serving. It's by and for quilt and antique dealers. Yes. Anyway, I talk about this a little bit more because I did finish watching the whole series, and I did not warm to it except for the G's Bend episode, which turns out was pretty much cherry-picked from a documentary. So there you have it. Heard from Jill, who sent some great links to modern Dresden plate quilts. And I have to say, they're super cute. I also got some links from Kristen and Glenna, I believe. Thank you. And if you're seeing these, send them. I would love to see them. This one that you can go into the comments, obviously, and follow the links. There's one. It's at Orchid Owl Quilts. Okay, that's what I'm... Orchid Owl Quilts. And it is darling. So thank you for that and for the other links as well. Heard from Brenda F., also known as Runs with Tutu. Now we know she's also Brenda F. Hi, Brenda F. She says that she uses a quilting glove on her left hand and the shelf liner stuff that has no name on her right hand. She finds it to be the best of both worlds, great grip with the glove and ease of use with my right hand when I need it. I'm assuming that you're right-handed and that if we're left-handed as I am, we should switch that. But that sounds really interesting. I haven't made any moves on adjusting my quilting gloves, but it is getting a little irritating because, all I'm doing right now is quilting, and it would be nice to have a little more dexterity. Heard from Ellen D. Totally agrees with me on my assessment of why quilts matter. She didn't even finish watching them, and I've heard that from other people a little further up in the comments. Daisy just commented today and said the same thing. Watched two episodes and said, uh-uh. And here's something that Ellen says. It was like a poorly written essay. And that's something, as a writer, I'm really hesitant to critique other writers, but the writing is very bad. Shelley Ziegert didn't write it, but we assume that she had editing ability. She produced a show. She could have edited. And the writing is horrible in places and crazy making. Oh, I wrote down something. They're talking about political quilts. Quilts are the quintessential way for women to advocate for their causes. And I would say no. Contacting your senator or representative, running for office yourself, starting a petition. There are all these different ways of advocating for your causes. Making quilts could be neat. And if you're marching, carrying a quilt, I guess on a stick with your message would be cool. But it's really not the quintessential way. And so why would you write that? Because, it's not even true. Not even true. All right, I'm moving on. I heard from Michelle, who just said she's sorry that she hasn't commented in a while. Very busy with the Christmas stuff. She is not a huge G's Ben quilts fan either. And Debbie commented a little further up the line, said the same thing. Now, I go on record. I say this. I talk a little bit about the G's Ben quilts later on in this episode. And I do really like them, except for the ones that I really don't like. But I don't think, I think that for a while it seemed a little like to say that you didn't like them at all. Was not politically correct. So I think if they don't appeal to everyone. They really don't. But anyway, but Michelle, come back. Comment some, get less busy. Comment some more. Heard from Marianne, who says, wow, I'm really getting in steps. Last week I got back to work, such a Fitbit girl. And then this weekend I got a little bit of a bug and also wasn't working. So I'm falling down on my steps, but I'm feeling much better, Marianne. And will I catch up with Terry? Of course not. No one catches up with Terry unless she like hurts her knee or her foot or something and doesn't run for 3 months. Then we have a chance, but we'll try. She gives us something to strive for. I heard from Kathleen, who is a head commenter. Yes, someone who she says she usually comments in her head. She lives near Greenville. Well, Kathleen, if you ever come this way, let me know. And just her comment just tells a little bit about herself. She works full time, so she's doing small projects, and that makes perfect sense in a lot of ways. One, you do what you can, and two, it's satisfying to finish things. At least I've heard that. I'm starting with the mosaic quilt to think, oh, oy vey, will I ever finish this? Although I'm having a good time, so it doesn't really matter. I'm a process girl. She is working on a table runner for her niece and is using the Downton Abbey fabric for it. Have we discussed the new season of Downton Abbey? I don't think we have. I'm loving it. It's so soapy, but not serious. I don't need serious stuff from Downton Abbey. I just don't. I don't. I want it to be soapy. I want it to be Mary choosing from many, many suitors. And I want it to be poor Edith. Always, always getting the shaft. Poor Edith. That's what I want. I want the snippy comments from, Maggie Smith. That's what I want. I would also like Matthew to come back to life, but that's not going to happen. So totally enjoying the Abbey this year. Heard from Gretchen. Hello, Gretchen. And she's got a link to a book review called The Vintage Quilt Revival, which she has reviewed on her blog, 120blocks.com. And I read it, and it made me really want to get the book. So if you're really susceptible to buying books after you read good reviews of them, you might not want to check that out. But anyway, it looks like a really fun book. And thank you for linking to that. And no more links to books that I could buy, though. No, stop that. No, that was great. Okay, and I heard from Debbie, and she says she's been sick, hasn't done much of anything. Debbie, get better. I'm sorry you're sick. And yes, anyway, I'm glad to hear from you. Thank you for taking the time. And she also said she hadn't actually listened to the episode yet, and that is okay, because you know, you don't have to listen to comment. That's one of my rules. Don't even bother listening. I just like your comments. And yay, heard from Very Lazy Daisy, who, and this is what, okay, we've been talking about Kona solids and how much they fray. Here's what Daisy says. While at Market, Quilt Market Houston, I did learn that the product that is sold, Kona solids, to big box stores and also to quilt shops is the exact same product, which I've heard. There have been rumors. I've never quite believed that, but according to Daisy, it's true. Zero difference. Quote, therefore, I have come to the conclusion that in order to be cost efficient for them, it must be a subpar quality. Instead of having a superior quality shipped out to large retailers for very low prices, they've dumbed it all down a bit to be cost effective. I made the decision a while back not to use Kona solids anymore for quilts, only for garments and other projects. We have started selling Northcott solids, and I'm liking them much better. So thank you for that rec and for that review of Kona, that little bit of inside information on Kona solids. Yeah, I need to get online and order. I should try. We should like do a taste test between the Moda and Northcott, and there was another brand, I think, too, that people were recommending. And heard from Daisy about why quilts matter. And she put it, she stopped listening after watching this travesty of a documentary after the second part. Quote, I just couldn't listen to that bunk nonsense any further. Tell it. All right. And then I heard from Terry. Yay, just today. Heard from Daisy today and Terry today. Very nice. And she says she must be the only person who has not tried Why Quilts Matter. Terry, I will lend you my copy. Email me, fdowell@nsc.rr.com, and I'll lend you my copy, and you can see what you think. See how far you can make it through. So, but she agrees with me that our quilts perhaps are not as autobiographical as some would have us believe. They really, they say things about us, but really don't tell the story of our lives, unless we write the story of our lives on them. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't put labels. We should put labels. That's a little bit of the story of our life. And yes, and she says that she loves the quilting on my mosaic quilt. Thank you, Terry. Thank you. You know, oh, so that's what, when you go to the website, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, I have put pictures of kind of where I am in the quilting, and you will see what I'm doing with the negative space. And I like it. Of course, I'm already thinking, oh, you know, I should have done this. I should have done that. Oh, you know, but I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's good that I'm getting other ideas. I can use them for other quilts. I like how this quilting looks on the front. On the back, it's very dense. I've got a picture up so you can see. It, on the back, it's a little overwhelming and very busy and probably too much going on. But on the front, I like it. And yeah, so, and I'm having fun. Super slider, man, the super slider. And what was the other thing I was going to say? I can't remember. There was something I was going to share from Leah Day, although I don't want to share too much from the Craftsy classes because it's not fair. We should all have to pay for our information provided by the wonderful teachers. I will say the one thing that I have, so with the way I'm quilting the negative space is essentially a four-petaled flower, very big, no stamen or whatever that thing in the middle is, just the petals. It's not really a flower. And then in the spaces between the petals, I'm just pebbling. And that's why the back is kind of looks over-quilted and kind of busy and something, but I the front, it needed, the petals weren't enough, it needed that pebbling, it needed something. And I like the way it looks. I am drawing a grid and then drawing the petals on the grid, just, you know, to have some hope of uniformity. Sorry, there's an ambulance in the distance and Travis has to go chase it. Yes, and so I do have lines to quilt by, and that's very nice. And the thing that I'm remembering to do is when I am quilting is to not look at the needle, which is hard to watch anyway, but to look at the quilting lines. And that's very helpful. It really does help you be more accurate. Now, I'm making mistakes, and particularly I'm getting to the center of the quilt, because I've already got every other block quilted, I just started on one side and moving to the other. I'm getting some pleats on the front, just little ones. I think that I don't know what to do to help those from happening, to keep those from happening. But what's happening, of course, is I get to the center. It's a big quilt, so there's a lot of weight. And I'll be quilting along, and suddenly there's just some gravitational shift, you know, and I'll have a stitch kind of go haywire. And I'm not worrying about it, quite frankly, because, you know, there's a reason this podcast is called The Off-Kilter Quilt. And there's some stuff you got to let go, and I'm letting that go. I'm not trying for perfection. I wish I could think of the other thing I was going to tell you. I'll think of it tonight as I'm quilting. Like, oh, yeah, I meant to tell you guys this very useful bit of information, but can't remember it. And you should go probably buy Leah Day's class for yourself. Anyway, I see my battery's going down, so I hope I'm speaking very loudly and you can hear this. Thank you, everyone, for commenting and emailing. I got some emails, too, so thanks a lot. And love hearing from you. So give me a comment at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com or email me, F as in Francis, Dowell, Dowell, at nc.rr.com, NorthCarolinaRoadrunner.com. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I think that's it for now, so let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, Day 1. Well, actually, it's a do-over of Day 1. It's not really Day 1. Day 1 was Saturday, the 18th. And I had lots to say, and I said it, but then I listened to it yesterday. Today is Wednesday, the 21st. I listened, or maybe it's the 22nd. I listened to it yesterday, whatever day we are. It's third week of January. You run with it. And you know, it just was flat. It was flat. I don't know why it was so flat. You know why it was flat? Because I had to get up at 6:15 on Saturday morning. Saturday was the morning, the kind of morning that I've been dreading for a long time. You know, we're a really kind of a slacker family in our way. In fact, I'm kind of having a deal with one of my young friends whose family is a very active family. They're younger. She's 15 years younger than I am. She's 35. She has three boys, and they're very active. And it's great because sometimes they invite Will to join in their activities, which is wonderful. They don't live that far away. It's a drive. It's about a four-minute drive up the road. But they have a neat yard with lots of stuff to do in it. And my friend's children are very nice children. It's a really nice family. And they're different from us. We're a nice family, and I have nice children, but we just kind of like to hang out a lot. We are hanger-outers. And I think what's surprising to a lot of people, Will, my sixth grader, is an introvert. And you would not guess that if you met him. He is someone who it's very easy to strike up a conversation with. He's a good conversationalist. He is warm and funny and friendly. When he's with people, he's very engaged. But after a period of engagement, he really needs to chill out, which is a lot like me and a lot like the man. Jack, who is very quiet, I think is less of an introvert. He's really good just hanging out, but he also likes to do stuff and I think is more energized by doing stuff, whereas the rest of the family, we are depleted by doing stuff. In any event, yes, we are a slacker, chilled out family, and that works. But my young friend, for some reason, I think is of the belief that everyone should run their families the way that she runs her families, and that we all should be very, very active. I'm against activity in general. Quilting, taking walks, hanging out. You know, Sunday was actually really nice. I mean, I was just sitting in here reading and quilting, and the man and Will were watching the football game, and they just hang out, and they chat, and they joke, and they yell at the TV, and they're having a fabulous time, and it's just friendly and cheerful and nice. But my young friend felt that Will should have gone to youth group because, you know, her son was going to youth group, and, well, shouldn't you want to go out and do one activity after another? And I actually was a little snitty with her. We were texting, and I basically said, "It's okay if Will wants to chill out." Because on Saturday, see the time thing on this quilt diary, this episode is going to be so messed up because I'm pretending like it's Saturday. It's not, it's Wednesday. But anyway, Saturday, back to Saturday. So I've enjoyed having kind of, my kids, Will's always does a sport. But he has not done a lot of after school activities. In fact, he doesn't particularly like to do after school activities, which I remember that very well. I was the sort of person who joined clubs and then sort of quit them. And of course, as a kid, I didn't understand. That's because by the end of the school day, I was done. One more event, I was not up for. And I think Will's like that too. But now he has an activity to go along with his sport. He does Lego robotics, which is really cool, and we're very proud of him. Now, Jack, on the other hand, has always had an activity, and for many years it's been debate. He started doing debate in 8th grade, and he's in 10th grade now. But he's never done a sport. I mean, he did when he was really little, but he doesn't particularly like sports or games, athletic games. But now he's joined swimming, which is really neat, and we're very excited about that and very proud. We're very proud of both boys because we feel like they've been pushing themselves out of their comfort zones a little bit. But that, to me, that's just enough activity. What happened on Saturday? Jack had a debate at our fine school. So he wasn't actually debating because we were the host team. But because we were hosting, he had to be at school at 7, which meant he wanted to get up at 6:15. What's worse, Will had the Lego Robotics Day competition in Greensboro. He had to get up at 5:30. Now, the man is very, very good, and he handles a lot of the early morning stuff because he can actually come home and go back to sleep. So there have been times when Jack's had to get over to school for the debate bus, like at 6 in the morning. And the man gets up, and it's a big deal because when you're actually doing debate, you have to be in your suit and you have to have all your stuff and your notes and your computer and you're this and you're that. And Jack's not a morning person, but the man makes it happen. And he's very good at it and much better than I would be. And he can go back to sleep. When he gets home from dropping Jack off, he just goes back to sleep. Whereas my problem is I can't go back to sleep. Well, Saturday, we both had to get up. The man was good. He's a good man. The man is a good man. He got up, he did the 5:30 thing and got Will over to somebody else's house. There was someone else who was actually going to drive to Greensboro, but she asked us to drive Will over to her house, which we were perfectly happy to do. The man did that, and then I got up at 6:15 to wake up Jack, who actually did not get up till 6:30. He had asked to be awakened at 6:15, so I was a little snippy with him. I had a snippy, snitty kind of weekend in some ways. So yes, so by the time all the children were out of the house, the man went back to bed, and I kind of wandered around and could not go back to bed. I tried, I read, but I couldn't go back to bed. So by the time that I was recording my quilt diary, I was de-energized, and moreover, I was on my way. I sat down before I had to go over to our fine school to be a debate volunteer, which meant I just hung out in the judges' room for 3 hours, resupplying the snacks from time to time. And it was actually very fun because I got to talk to a mom who I don't really know, but I really like. And her daughter started sc our school at in 9th grade, and she and Jack are in the same advisory. And the mom is just friendly, and I've liked her. But this time we actually sat down and we talked for 2 hours, which was great. But then, of course, by the end of the afternoon, that's a lot of talking. Long day, but here we are, Wednesday, but it's Saturday. Well, what did I talk about on Saturday? Let me tell you. I talked about Why Quilts Matter, which at that point I had not finished watching. I have finished watching it now. And my two main complaints, my two, I don't know. Why not just say it? My two main complaints, the things that really bugged me. One is this bizarre and really kind of indecent and gross emphasis on money. I just, and yeah, I don't, just too much talk about how much quilts cost or how much money there's to be made as a prize-winning quilter. Too much money talk. Too much money talk. It was icky. The second thing, and this is what truly bugged me, watching the whole series and reflecting, was this is a series, a 9-part series about quilt making and quilts, and we weren't in it. You and I were not represented at all. We're the quilters. We're the 16 million. At the time, Why Quilts Matter was made, the number, the surveys were showing 20 million. This year's survey says 16. That's still a lot of us, right? 16 million. You know that like 15,750,000 of us are everyday quilters, right? We are hoi polloi quilters. We make traditional quilts, or we make modern quilts, or we're modern traditionalists, but we just make quilts for love. Most of our quilts, we give away. We just like making quilts, and we love the joy of giving a quilt to someone who could really use a quilt. And the fact is, everyone could really use a quilt. But we love to make stuff, and we love to make quilts. And we weren't in it. You know what part of us was in Why Quilts Matter? Our butts. All right? Every once in a while, they'd be like, well, Houston, the Houston show, one of the biggest shows of the year. And here are quilters. Here are all these women looking at quilts. So we saw our backsides. A lot of middle-aged backsides. That's how we were represented in Why Quilts Matter. And I'm thinking, you know the reason the quilting is a $3 billion a year industry? It's because of us. We're buying fabric, we're taking classes, we're going to conferences, we're staying in hotels, we're eating at restaurants in Houston and Paducah, assuming Paducah has restaurants. I don't know, I've not been. But anyway, that's the $3 billion. There, it's us. We make it. Not the collectors, not the art quilters who are selling their quilts for lots of money. God bless them, I'm all for them. But they're not the ones responsible for that $3 billion. It's us. And we're the ones, by the way. That's why Quilts Matter got made. They got funding because of us. Because they said, hey, there are 20 million quilters in this country. We ought to make, you know, and 19 million of them watch PBS all the time. We should make a show about quilt making, right? We're the reasons. We're the numbers, right? That the show even got made, the series even got made, and all that's in there are our wide, broad backsides. And that makes me mad. And moreover, our people, like our stars, our heroes, were not in there. Aside from those of us who love the G's Bend quilters and find them heroic, which I do, because they're everyday quilters too. They were quilting for love. They quilt for love too. But otherwise, our people were not there. You know who was not in it? This just struck me like a slap in the face. Fonz and Porter. Fonz and Porter did not come up once in a 9-episode series on quilts and why quilts matter. Marianne Fonz and Liz Porter weren't anywhere to be seen, and that is insane. The reason why there's this huge quilting industry, they're a huge reason. They're a huge source of our interest. How many people started quilting because they were, you know, Sesame Street went off and Fonz and Porter came on PBS. And they made it seem doable. And they made people think, oh, I always wanted to make a quilt. And they started making quilts because of Marianne Fonz and Liz Porter, who met in a continuing ed kind of course. You know, an extension service sort of quilting class, like in 1970-something, early 1970s. They meet and they start an empire. And they turn so many people, so many women onto quilting. They're nowhere in the series. There's no Alex Anderson in this series. Alex Anderson, one of our great teachers, one of our great personalities. Ricky Timms is in there, and I was glad to see him. Love Ricky. But Alex should have been in there. Meg Cox, an important person in terms of quilt documentation. She's a big person in the Quilt Alliance. She writes about quilts. She is a quilting advocate. An important person in our world. Not there. Barbara Brackman, probably the most popular quilt historian going right now. Probably because she doesn't just write quilt history. She writes quilt patterns. a wonderful presenter. I mean, I've only seen her on video, but I really like her. Not there. Where are people? I would have liked to have seen me a little Mark Lipinski, right? Just some comic relief, a different kind of way of talking about quilting that a lot of us love. Someone who's been important, I think, particularly in attracting younger quilters, modern quilters. You know, so there are people that should have been there. There was no modern quilting, by the way. And I think this, when did the series come out? 2010. No modern quilting. So we weren't in there, and that makes me mad. How can you know why quilt matter? How can you know why quilts matter if you don't talk to us about it? Because we could tell you. And I'm gonna, you know, I really, one of my goals this year is to really articulate to myself and perhaps to you why quilts matter. And you know, a big part of it is because, you know, quilts are beautiful and they are useful. And that's true of a lot of handicrafts. But a lot more people have quilts in their homes, grew up with quilts in their homes than they grew up with, say, beautiful, useful pottery or a beautiful hand-carved bowl or handmade, hand-hewn table, right? A lot of people grew up with quilts. A lot of people did. These beautiful, useful objects. For a lot of people, quilts, only art they ever knew growing up. That's one reason of many, many, many reasons that quilts matter, and that did not come up in this series. And that's a shame. That's a waste of time. That's a wasted opportunity. We should have been in it, and we weren't. So bummer. What else to tell you? That was my main thing, and maybe I'll just make that in this sort of remix of Quilt Diary Day 1, which is really Quilt Diary Day 3. Oh, this is so confusing. My mind is going round and round. We'll just leave it there. We'll just leave it there. Know that I am, I guess I probably mentioned that I have been quilting the mosaic quilt that's coming along. We're getting there. Don't know how long it's going to take. Will not make predictions. That would be a mistake. But that's where I am. But that's what I wanted to tell you. Oh, I had one more thing I wanted to tell you. The best episode in Why Quilts Matter was the G's Bend episodes. And I know some of you don't love the G's Bend quilts. A couple of people have mentioned that in the comments. And, you know, and it almost feels like a brave thing to say. I don't really like those quilts. Now, you know, my point of view, my opinion on the G's Bend quilts is I think a lot of them are works of genius. Some of them I don't care for and I don't think are works of genius or even that, you know, really much to look at. But the ones that work, they make my heart sing. Anyway, the G's Bend quilt episode was great, but here's the funny thing, is it was such a good episode, I thought, you know, there's a G's Bend documentary. And sure enough, it's on Alabama Public, I'm going to say public radio, that's not right, Public Broadcasting did a G's Bend documentary a few years ago. And in fact, I've got a link in the show notes to the Vimeo site. If you don't know about Vimeo, Vimeo, let me recommend it to you. It is free to sign up, and there are a lot of great free documentaries on all kinds of stuff. I discovered it through the Southern Foodways Alliance because that's where you click through to videos on their website, and it takes you to Vimeo. So I signed up, but there's all kinds of really, really cool stuff on Vimeo. So go, but the G's Bend quilt documentary. You can access it through Vimeo. And what was funny is that, so I wanted to watch it, and it's beautiful. It really, you will cry. It will make you cry. It made me cry. It made me cry. But what's funny is I realized all the really good stuff in the Why Quilts Matter G's Bend episode actually was just cherry-picked from this documentary, which is fine. I mean, I'm sure they had permission to use it, but that's why it was so good. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I learned about something that I did not know about the G's Bend quilters or about G's Bend. And that is every year, assuming they still do this, but at one time this was true, every year they had an airing out of the quilts. So when the women did their spring cleaning,
They aired out their quilts, and they did it at the same time out on the clotheslines. And people would walk through town, and it was like having a giant community quilt show. And you'd walk and look at all the quilts. I thought, what a great thing. I love that idea so much. And I feel like we should have a national airing out of our quilts day, right? And everybody strings a clothesline in their front yard and hangs out their quilts. And hopefully it's a sunny day across the country. I don't know quite how to make that work. But isn't that a great idea? Wouldn't that be cool? Everybody who has quilts, whether they're your quilts or quilts that were given to you or passed down to you, that you would air them out. You know, like on April 1st or maybe May 1st, because some North Carolina, April 1st is practically summer. In some places, it's still very much winter. But say May 1st would be National Air Out Your Quilts Day. Wouldn't that be incredible? I think we should do it. Somebody start a nonprofit. Let's get this going. All right. I'm going to end here, and then you'll hear me again. Just as soon as I click the off button, you will hear me again, but actually it's from before. Very weird time-wise. I can't get my mind around it. All right, let's move on. I'll see you in a second. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Tuesday, January 20th-ish, I think. And I am sitting on my couch. I have a teeny tiny bug. And it's not really keeping me from doing too much except getting all my Fitbit steps in. So I'm falling behind after not really almost catching up with Terry, but kind of seeing the back of her head. That was fun for a few days. Anyway, I'm going to record this, and then I think I'm going to get quilting. I just submitted a revision to my editor, so today is a day for chilling out, not doing too much since I don't feel 100%, and also cleaning Will's room. That's something I can do and needs to be done. And yes, I know Will is old enough to clean his own room, and he does in a fashion, but sometimes I just need to get in there and recreate the space for him. And it's very interesting because when that happens, when I go make his space more livable and usable, he really uses it, and you can tell that he's energized by it. But it's been a while since that's happened, so it needs to happen. And I think I've got the energy for that. Making good progress on the mosaic quilt, negative space quilting. I just realized that, you know, I have the first border for the quilt. Well, I think, first or second border. Anyway, the half square triangle border. I meant to go ahead and quilt that because I'll be using the same design as I use for the half square triangles and the mosaic blocks. And as long as I was on a roll, I should have just kept going because I was getting really good at that quilt design. And I forgot to do that. I also have to figure out how I'm going to quilt the outer border because, you know, I have just found time and time again, if I don't do some quilting on the outer border, it gets puffy and it doesn't look good. But I have no idea what to do. So if you've got any ideas, any really good quilting ideas, let me know. I wanted to share with you a blog post that I read from the quilter Joe Cunningham. Do you know him? He's an art quilter. He's very good. I really like his quilts. I think he does really neat work. And of course, because he's a man, he gets a lot of attention. But I think he is deserving of his attention. So, but you know, we love it when the guy, it's like, you know, being a children's book author, it's kind of the same thing. When a guy shows up, because children's books, it's very female dominated. The authors are mostly women, the editors, publicists, they're mostly women. So you get a guy walking in the building and everyone gets very excited. And it's kind of true of quilters too. But I want to be very clear. I think Joe Cunningham is a really cool, neat quilter. And he does, I would call him an art quilter. I was familiar with him. Who did he do? I did a column for some magazine, and they might still do it. I can't remember if it was Quilter's Newsletter, but one of the main magazines, and I don't know if he still does, but he did a column. So that is probably how I became aware of him. And then the other day, I picked up a
copy of Kraft magazine, and there's an article about him in it. And in fact, the article is available online, and I have linked to it in my show notes. And the magazine itself, I don't know if you've ever looked at it. It is it's beautiful. They have it at Barnes & Noble. It costs like $8. It comes out every other month, and it's a really beautiful magazine, and it's neat because they do cover quilters. And anyway, see, reading that article made me kind of interested and wanted to investigate more, so I went to his website, which is called Joe the Quilter. And I'll link to the website in the show notes. And he has a blog, and he blogged last week about what he calls the coming wave. And this is the sort of, we are about to lose kind of the greatest generation of quilters. We're about, you know, there are a lot of women who in their 70s, 80s, 90s who have been quilting for a long, long time and have over the course of their quilt making life made a lot of quilts and collected a lot of patterns and articles and all sorts of stuff, all sorts of quilting ephemera. And he talks particularly about Bonnie Morley in this blog post because she is in long-term care. She was a founding member of the American Quilt Study Group, but she is in long-term care now with Alzheimer's. And she'd been making quilts since the early 1950s. He has pictures of her sewing room, and you see pictures of binders with quilting patterns and magazine articles and all kinds of stuff. And he's wondering, all right, so we've got you know, a generation of quilters who are about to go to the great, you know, quilting grounds in the sky, who are about to pass away. And what do we do with their stuff? You know, especially, you know, a lot of it to many of us would seem very valuable or of interest. And that's a question he poses, and it doesn't offer answers. You know, the obvious answer about the ephemera in this day and age is it can be digitized. And so you don't have to keep the paper, right? Because, and there will be, you know, there's the Quilt Alliance actually does a great job. It's got a number of documentary projects going on, including the documentation of patterns and articles and what have you online. So, I mean, that's where this stuff needs to go. It needs to be digitized and archived in online spaces. Now, one of the things that Joe writes about in this blog post, he said, I'll read it to you. Toward the end. The modern quilt movement is building another generation of quilters, but so far that generation is more or less ahistorical. Discovering the history of the American quilt was the mission of my generation and those who were my mentors. And I should say he is in his early 60s. It's not the mission of young quilters now, nor do I think it should be. But I wonder what is going to happen to the archives and quilts created by the amateur scholars and historians who spent their lives gathering materials and creating quilts of high caliber. Well, even if younger quilters or older middle-aged quilters aren't particularly interested in this information, and I like that he says, you know, nor does he think they should be. I think that you can be very deeply involved in quilt making and not actually care that much about the history of it. You know, I'm finding it very neat. The deeper I get into my kind of quilt study, you know, my quilt history study, I really enjoy it. But, you know, some of that's because I love quilts. I look at pictures of quilts in these books, like quilts made in 1936, and I get very excited. You know, I saw a picture the other day in a book that I'm reading, you know, and it's like sort of the first American quilt, and I think the date is 1701. I think that's right. And, and it's a beautiful quilt. And it's not a particularly fancy quilt, you know? It's just a patchwork quilt. And I was like, oh, that's so great. I'm like, oh, the shivers. But, yeah, so I do really love quilts as things. But I also, you know, I'm very interested in folk life and what I would call folk history, which is the passing along of history through letters and journals. And, you know, I love oral history. And so reading these quilting books that I've been reading, these quilt histories and these books about state documentation projects, you know, so much of it is oral history, or there's, you know, a lot of what we know about 19th century quilt making,
is from journals and letters. Now, by the end of the 19th century, there suddenly, you know, paper became cheap, and all of a sudden there were magazines and all, you know, that were catering to women and to domesticity. So suddenly you've got more journalism about quilt making. But I love the letters, you know, and I love the oral histories. So that's a lot of my interest comes from that as well. So, but that's why I think that even if quilt makers are not particularly interested in this information, of course some of us are for a variety of reasons, but some of us aren't. But even if there's not a clamor from quilt makers to say we need to preserve this information, there are historians and folklorists and women's studies scholars who very much want this material to be preserved. So anyway, I thought it was interesting. It made me think more about this blog post was interesting. It made me think more about my interest, where my interest is coming from. And I liked that he didn't kind of stomp on modern quilters and say, well, these young people today, these kids today. It's like, you're interested in what you're interested in. I do think, I found the comment interesting. Discovering the history of the American quilt was the mission of my generation. And so he's 62, so he's 12 years older. And I'd have to read more about his history as a quilt maker, like when he started. But I wish he would write more about who he sees his generation as being. I mean, I guess if it's, you know, quilters who came of age in the early 70s, and that makes a lot of sense because there was a very general interest in the history of quilts because it was really being written at that point, or there was a renewed interest in the late 60s, early 70s. Of course, people were writing about quilts and quilt making before that time, but there was a definite renewed interest in studying the history of quilts in America. So, yeah, and I don't think that interest is as strong now. I don't know. Do you find it interesting? I hope so, if you're listening to this podcast, since this seems to be what I'm talking about a lot lately. What else to tell you? This is exciting. I'm sure I will have talked about this. This is getting weird time-wise. I'm sure I will talk about this in the intro. So by the time you listen to this section, this quilt diary, you will have heard, but I'll say it again because it's exciting. Generation Q, which is a magazine for quilters, has an article in its January-February 2015 issue about podcasts, and includes a helpful list of podcasts you might be interested in listening to, and all the girls are on it. So Hip to Be Square, Crafty Garden Mom, Quilting for the Rest of Us, and me. I'm there. So that's exciting. And so I just ordered the magazine. This will be the second issue that I have looked at. I'm going to go grab. I feel like maybe I'd heard of it in something. I guess I read something that made me actually want to look at it, and I'd never seen it on the newsstand. So I got an issue off of eBay in the late fall, and this was the September-October 2014 issue. And it's Generation Q, Quilt, Sew, Live, Breathe. And it's modern in its sensibility. I enjoyed the articles very much. You know, I like articles about quilting. And not just, so I like that it has interviews and it has patterns and it's got information. So it's really neat. If you haven't looked at it, I recommend that you do. You can order it from their website, Generation Q. I'm assuming it's generationqmagazine.com. And of course, I really appreciate the mention, so I'm excited to get it. And, you know, I have to tell you, it's good that it's around because Quilty is going out of business. And Mary Fonz just announced that today on Facebook. And now Quilty, as she points out, is really the only Quilty magazine aimed squarely at the beginning quilter. And while I am not a beginning quilter,
I've really liked Quilty and felt like there was a lot of good information, and it was a good magazine to read to sort of brush up on skills. So I am really sad that I think it's the May issue that will be its last issue. And that is sad because it's enjoyable. I think it has served a real purpose. She did not talk about why it's going out of business. I would assume it's just not selling enough. She had already announced that she was no longer going to be the editor, but I guess at that time she hoped that someone would come take her place and the magazine would keep going. So I assume there's a fuller story there, and maybe one day we'll learn it. But I was sorry to hear it. I really was. But and while Generation Q is not necessarily aimed at the new quilter, it seems to me aimed at the younger quilter, which is great. So I fully support it. Yes. So that is it for right now. And I may go ahead and end up here, even though it's just Tuesday, but sometimes it takes me a couple days to actually get the photographs and get the introduction recorded, etc. So I think I will, because I want to get back to my weekly schedule, my weekly routine. Oh, the last bit of news is I just joined the American Quilt Study Group. So I decided that is what my parents always give me, a nice check for Christmas. Most of that will be going to kitchen renovation. Our fabulous contractor came over on Friday. So this week we have to do some more cabinet work and then counters. And we have decided, so I think we're going to go with a laminate counter because, to be honest, my dream is that in a few years down the road, it might be 5 or 6, it might be 10, I really would like to do a total kitchen makeover. New cabinets, new floor, everything. Maybe doing some reconfiguration of some of the space. And so I really don't want to spend X huge number of dollars on granite counters. And, you know, and I like the laminate. We have laminate now, and I like it fine. I don't like the color. It's tan, you know. That's kind of depressing. But, you know, I mean, it's inoffensive. And I think we can find, some laminate that we like. I'm seeing a bluish gray or a darkish greenish gray. And then where we're going to invest more money is in the backsplash, which I am totally excited about. Because right now we have the same laminate that is on the counter is also the backsplash. So that is going on and in my life, and I feel like I was had a point. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just wanted to share with you my counter news. Going with the cheap stuff, girls, so I can spend more money on making quilts. Okay, so let's end this. Thank you for listening. If you are a new listener, and we've been getting new listeners, which is exciting. I think people who are discovering podcasts, and I think that happens in waves. And so welcome to the new wave, and welcome to anyone who came over because they read the list of podcasts in Generation Q and decided to check us all out. I appreciate you spending the time, and I hope you'll come back. So remember, life is short. Quilt first. Bye.